Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, the scripture readings speak to us about faith, and faith is at the heart of our identity as a Christian people. Pope John Paul II once said, "Faith is the least understood word in our vocabulary, but it's best portrayed in sacred scripture." The first reading is a great example of it. It's the great story of Abraham. Now, whenever you hear Abraham in sacred scripture, whether it's in Genesis or when you hear people talking about Abraham, like Jesus Christ or St. Paul, Abraham always is synonymous with great faith. He's a great role model of faith. In fact, he's the father of our faith. Now, the story begins with God approaching Abraham and telling him to pack up everything and move to a place where God wants Abraham to possess land and to live there. Now, this is no small request. Abraham, it's estimated, is 80 to 90 years old. He lives in Ur, which is present-day Iraq. And so Abraham is going to have to walk from Iraq all the way to present-day Israel, which is the Promised Land. And it's no small journey. Furthermore, Abraham is living a very comfortable life. He is an owner of land. He owns sheep and animals, so he's a shepherd. Abraham also has his entire family living with him. And yet, God says to him, pack up everything and go and travel to this foreign land with foreign customs and a foreign language. And it is there that I want you to live and for you to possess this land. Now, if somebody would approach us and say this to us, I think our first response would be, are you kidding me? And yet, Abraham did exactly what God wanted him to do. Now, this teaches us a powerful lesson about faith. When we think of faith, we must think of faith primarily in terms of an attitude of trust. I'll say that again. When we think of faith, we must always think of faith primarily in terms as an attitude of trust. God wants Abraham to uproot his life as well as his family and go on this wild adventure. And Abraham trusts in God, and he accepts it, and he moves on God's word. Does Abraham really know where he's going? No. Does he have any means to navigate by? No. He has no map or GPS or compass. Does Abraham really know God's plan for him? Absolutely not. Is Abraham in control? No way. Yet, he trusts in God. And see, this is at the very heart of our faith. Our God is a God who loves adventure. He loves to uproot us, take us to places we never thought we could go, have us do things we never thought we could do or accomplish. What's important? Let go. Surrender yourself to the Lord. When you do that, then you know that you're being led by a power greater than yourself. Now, you see this up and down the Bible. You see God calling people into faith. And how do the people respond? With trust. They believe and they trust the word of God, and then they act upon it. Now, compare and contrast figures in the Bible who place their trust in God, like Abraham, with those who do not. For example, Adam and Eve. They didn't place their trust in God, and therefore, they grasp at God. In that very act of grasping at the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they wanted to be in control. They saw God as a rival, and therefore, they wanted to be just like God. However, Throughout the Bible, God is constantly calling people into faith. What's the proper response? Trust in the Lord. Now go back to the first reading and listen to what God says to Abraham. The Lord said, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession. O Lord God, Abram said, how am I to know that I shall possess this land? Abraham right now is at the verge of entering the promised land, and yet he stops short, and now he's doubtful whether or not God will truly allow him to possess this land. Doubt has now crept into Abraham's faith. That's why he says, how do I know that I shall possess it? Well, how often does this happen to us? Sometimes doubt creeps into our own faith life. It typically happens when we experience a challenge in our life, maybe an unexpected diagnosis, maybe we fear losing our job, maybe poor or strained relationships. Whatever they may be, there are challenges that come into our life, and in doing so, they test us. Doubt creeps in. We begin to ask the questions ourselves, does God really want me here? Where is God truly leading me? And yet, how does God respond to Abraham in his doubt? Does God get angry or frustrated? Not at all. In fact, to the contrary, God now enters into a covenant with Abraham. Listen to what he says. God said to Abraham, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Abraham brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. What we have to understand is that in the ancient world, when you entered into a covenant with another person, part of the covenant rite that is prescribed is that you must sacrifice animals. You must literally cut them in half and place them side by side across from each other. What would happen next is that both persons of that covenant would then walk in between those animals. The implication here is that if you broke that covenant, what happened to those animals would happen to you. Essentially, in the ancient world, a covenant was a life-binding agreement. It was something that was taken very seriously. Therefore, God and Abraham are about to enter into a life-binding agreement. Next, the story continues. It says, as the sun was about to set, a trance fell over Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. Darkness symbolizes the times in which we don't see where God is leading us. We don't necessarily always see or know where God is leading, but we have to trust. The trance symbolizes that our minds are no longer in control. If we have truly surrendered to God, like Abraham, then God is now leading us where He wants us to go. Next, it says, when the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking firepot and a flame torch which passed between those pieces. Once again, up and down the Bible, God is typically symbolized by fire. Remember the story of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit descends upon the apostles in the form of fire. Well, now fire symbolizes the presence of God. This burning torch now passes in between those animals. The implication here is now God ratifies the covenant He has now made with Abraham. Later on, God will say to Abraham, I will be your God, and you will be my people. Now, with that in mind, fast forward into the gospel. The gospel begins. It says, Jesus took Peter, John, and James, and went up the mountain to pray. Friends, it's a basic biblical truth. Whenever you hear a mountain in sacred scripture, it's a place where something spectacular will take place. It's a place where heaven and earth unite, where you will encounter God. For example, Moses encounters God on Mount Sinai in the form of a burning bush. Abraham climbs Mount Moriah and encounters the Lord. Elijah climbs Mount Carmel and, in the presence of the Lord, defeats the priests of Baal. Now Jesus climbs Mount Tabor, and he will be miraculously transfigured before the presence of his apostles. Now that light that transfigures Jesus, that illuminates him, is the same light that passes through those animals and ratifies the covenant with Abraham. That light is the divine illuminary light from heaven. Next in the story, it says, "Behold, two men were conversing with Jesus, Moses and Elijah." Moses and Elijah represent the law and the prophets. More to it, both Moses and Elijah represent individuals who at critical moments of their lives listen to the word of God spoken to them, and they responded to God's command. Did they know, like Abraham, where they were going? No, not at all. Did they know what was expected of them? Absolutely not. And yet, both accepted God's call. They trusted in the Lord, and with faith, they acted upon God's word. And see, Moses and Elijah are two great models of faith for us all. Next in the story, it says Peter and his companions were overcome by sleep. Does that sound familiar? Abraham also fell into a deep sleep. The symbolism here is that when in terms with the Lord, we are not in control. We must surrender ourselves so that the Lord may lead us and guide us in our faith lives. We don't necessarily know where we're going. We don't necessarily always know God's plan for us. But if we trust, if we have faith like Abraham, Moses, and Elijah, that's all we need. Next in the story, it says, "Peter awoke, saw the glory of Jesus and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, 'Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.'" Peter now truly sees the glory of God in front of him. So he wants to build these tents so as to stay there on that mountaintop. He doesn't want to leave. Essentially, what Peter's trying to do is he's trying to control Jesus. He wants to keep him there. In some ways, what Peter is doing or what he's saying echoes the words of Adam and Eve and their actions. They're trying to control the Lord. And yet we know Jesus' mission does not end on this mountaintop. Not at all. It ends in Jerusalem. That's why Jesus says to Peter, as well as the other apostles, "No, we must make our way down this mountain and continue our way to Jerusalem." Jesus knows that's where his mission will end. When God spoke to Abraham, Abraham did not build a tent so as to stay in control. No, he heard the word of God, he trusted it, and then with faith, he moved and acted upon it. People of faith don't build tents. They don't try to seek or hold out or control God. Instead, people of faith trust in the word of God, and with faith, they move and act upon it. Well, that must be with us also. If we truly are to call ourselves people of faith, faith in our Lord. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.